Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Sonic Effects, a place for Masons to lean in a little bit, relax in the comfort of their big overstuffed chair, feet up on the table, fill your coffee with whatever thrills you, and give us an opportunity to inform and entertain. The 14th of October, 2018. We close in on, this is the 287th day of the year. Only leaves us with, 78 days left? I think that's remarkable. We should all feel quite chuffed. We've done great things this past year. It matters. It certainly matters. But for those of you who are discerning around the world, tune into the Sonic Effects. Welcome. It's good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Where I am, we're in the midst of an autumn and looking forward to our winter. And, for some of our listeners, we know it's spring and you're ready to embrace summer. An acknowledgement, though, all of those of you are not in areas that are struggling, that you are never far from our hearts and minds. And what happens wherever you are matters a tremendous amount to us. Where there is confusion and turmoil, there will always be a need for what you represent. The potential is always there for people to be influenced, not by what you say. Certainly, we're not very good at that. Our speechifying sometimes leaves more on the laboratory in table than it does in our presentations. But what speaks loudly, of course, most importantly, is our behavior. One need not claim that they trust us or they understand us or they know us. The diligence of our behavior, being able to keep our focus on our goals, the important goals of life, to not only be charitable without some gain, without some connection, really takes us and defines us beyond what's known here in North America as service clubs. Although those acts are mighty important, but we are not. We are something else. We were there in a way before service clubs were developed, and perhaps in some modest manner, we were able to encourage people to form together. No, we have expectations. We have expectations about commitment. And too often, we seem to struggle with some of our obligations. And I think it's more likely that we have difficulty being candid, being honest and truthful with one another, and often feel put on the spot because, you know, we haven't really prepared. And we live in an age where preparation is everything, where the group or being able to find favor and be somewhat consistent with the group has been touted as the strength of our cultures, only to find, as usual, it's the contemplative mind, not in the box or outside of a box. Nothing so constraining as that notion, but just observation and realization that happens in different versions of isolation, but within the mind. Can we? We still see that. Can we? Yes. Will we? Will we find the capacity to support the Christopher Wren, to support the great writers, to support the great thinkers? Do we have that? Well, you think about it truthfully, they weren't necessarily embraced fully in their time, but they were embraced sufficiently that it made a difference. Today, it's more of a scattered field, isn't it? Movement toward individualism is coming to some of its natural boundaries. There are boundaries in any kind of society to the expressions of individuality. Not punitive. It's not done with the heel of authority on your throat. No. It's just done that quizzical look. It's like the boy trying to run through a barbed wire fence. Okay, we can't. We can wonder why you would want to do that. But eventually you'll figure it out. We have great faith in the barbed wire is coming at us. Oh, we have some contemporary barbed wire too that's dangerous to our flesh and to our very being. Anyway, we're going to get into a thank you for your support. Let's sit back and get into a good connection here with a bit of mathematics, Pythagorean, if you will, the joy of some good music together. This is a game from our brothers by different mothers in Spain. How do they do it? Enjoy.
Down. Abrigo a tristeza de frente, tudo se perde. E me solta. Procuro o caminho a seguir, ser sempre um dia feliz. E chorar, chorar.
I have something to confess. Really, I would much rather listen to good music than a boring, speechifying, stuffed shirt. My hair is going to burst into flames for saying that. Whatever the speaker is, if it's tedious, I have very little. My tolerance is qualified, I've realized. It's not there where I can just sit with that mind-numbing glaze on my face, as we often see. We'll look around. It's like, get to the end of this so we can get on. There is I don't know if it's an impertinence or an impatience that's out there. The patience is what we do when we deserve to be angry or be irritated, and we don't. We begin to own those emotions. We begin to explore what really is the source of the irritation. Is it the poor orator? Is it the lack of preparation? Is it the superficiality of the topic? Well, it could be a lot, and a lot of things. No, it's like when I'm in a lodge and I'm watching ritual, I like everybody there, I have expectation that that the participants are going to be in character and going to be not only reciting their lines, but understanding their lines, understanding the conversation, the story that they're portraying. Ah, alas and alack. Too often, it's somebody struggling barely to get through their piece of the work, stumbling forward like the perennial 3-year-old learning to walk or 2-year-old learning to walk, and too often receiving not encouragement, that would be honest, but this veil of praise. Excellent work. You've heard it. I've heard it. I'm not embarrassed to say that. It's a fact that we go through too often. Has that had a cumulative effect? Well, yeah, it yeah. Unless you're a committed a Mason like I am, and even then I have limits too, you're more likely to walk away from it because the portrayals are insincere. Well, it's expected that somebody does their work and prepares. We jump up and down like it's novel, like it's unusual. And it isn't. That's your expectation. The work of masonry is to go beyond the expectation. Now, yeah, we're in the quarry and we're pulling out this cube of a marble, but we're not going to be putting that on a plinth anywhere soon. And that's what we seem to be, and it's not even good work. Well, let's connect the dots here. Let's connect the outcome with what we've been doing. It's not the intention. The intention of your heart has been lost because the conversation has been blunted. It doesn't matter. We are disconnected, so we don't have to have that conversation. Can I talk to you honestly about your work? It reflected the amount of effort that you put into it. I think you have potential. I think you know, and I know, as I know, that it's going to take effort. A little bit of technical confusion here. Apologize. But it happens, connecting with a network around the world. It's the relevancy. There is some things that happen, some effects of the connection and detachment that occurs with social media. It appears the observant have noticed that for a great many people, we lose the capacity for empathy and compassion. We can say and respond, we can talk, communicate, as if there is no accountability or responsibility for what we're saying. It appears that social media unleashes something that's been within us for a great long time, that perhaps that misanthrope that's always been part of our characters, I don't like to think that, we have the opportunity to influence this, brethren, to ensure that we become spokeswomen, for generosity, for charity, for kindness, for understanding. And there's nobody that can enforce this. Nobody. If this isn't within the grasp of your cable toe, then who's going to do it? Have we lost that currency? I say not as long as each and every one of us has agency. Right? And we do. And we do. So be careful what we wish for. It might come true. Clifford Brown and Max Roach. 1954. Darn that dream. Lemon drops. They just never lose their appeal. Clifford Brown and Max Roach. Now, for you sit back, we, you know, audacious lot. We listen to music that should never exist from, that came from the degradation of human beings by racists and slavery, slavers. And yet they created these people. Created something remarkable, a gift. It's not from a nation. It's from the hearts and minds of perhaps the suffering. What did they do? They decided that putting them in a cage, whether it had visible bars or the crack of a whip, was not enough to harness their spirit, their humanity. And certainly it's proof. Isn't that, don't you own that too? An organization of men. We don't have the pomp and circumstance of royalty to support it. We don't float on that dream. No, we have representation, acknowledgement, and connections with royalty, with the successful, with the scholars, and with the worker. We don't lose track of that, or if we do, it's kind of interesting. Depends on context, doesn't it? If we're facing the winds coming in off the loch in northern Scotland, it's a context that's remarkable. And we do it here where I am, with a lot of, we take on a lot of weight, a lot that's undeserved. Our Grand Lodge has borne that weight for a long, long time. Oh, it's not the engineering design. It's that it's incomplete. The model that we've been following, well, that's kind of obvious to listeners of Masonic Effects. Here, as you usual in the show, I want to teach. We give a little bit of instruction and then go happily on our way. This is, again, from, we're going to talk a bit more about the realizations. You know, as we open that book that I've been speaking to you about, the Book of Mason, you're handed this thing by somebody who was handed this thing. And I'm suggesting that when he and his predecessors went to open it, he found that, golly, for some reason, you know, if you've ever left a book out in the damp, the pages stick together, don't they? The coatings, something about it. And he found that most of the pages were stuck together. And he's handed that. And whether he's been diligent in trying to figure out how to get those pages open, or whether it was just, well, it's not worth it, I can go and meet with you and talk and have that sense of bonding that it means so much. And together we can do something useful for that widow, or for that patient, or for a person that's destitute, or the fellow that's struggling. And that makes me feel proud. It makes me feel good about myself as a human being, that I can be part of something that's defining as generosity. And yet we step back and we have so much to unlock those pages, those stuck pages. Now here's the secret of masonry. Are you listening? Lean in a little bit. Top up your beverage. To unlock those pages, it requires a concoction of willingness and curiosity. Be careful with those mixtures. Masonic jewels, and traditionally there are 6 Masonic jewels in a Mason's Lodge, 3 movable, 3 immovable. The square, level, and plumb rule are the 3 movable jewels. Oh my goodness, is this available to the public? Yes. Gee. I just read that for myself here. There are 3 movable jewels, and they also serve as the working tools of the second degree, which has to do with geometry. They're considered in more detail under that heading. The immovable jewels are the tracing board in the rough and perfect ashlars, and are called immovable because they lie open in the lodge for the brethren to moralize on. They are all 3 related to a geometrical function, and are the movable jewels, as are the movable jewels, and have arrived at their present positions and meanings after over 200 years of development. The tracing board is, like its movable companion, the square, is essentially the master's instrument. And the lecture tells us that it is for the master to lay lines and draw designs on, the better to enable the brethren to carry on the intended structure with regularity and propriety. It is on the tracing board that the master sets out moral teachings for the instruction and guidance of his brethren in the matter of living. In these days, the designs of the tracing boards related to the different degrees tend to be of a standard pattern and to reflect by symbols the moral teachings of the craft. They developed in this way through the last quarter of the 18th century and the first quarter of the 19th century. The English Grand Lodge certificate, still on a basic design first used in 1819, follows the layout of the first tracing board, except for the center part left out to accommodate the necessary wording. And this document shows a tracing board in the lodge, a draftsman's board with pencil and ruler lying on it for the master to use. It is believed that the name tracing board is a corruption of the old trestle or trestle board used in lodges in the late 18th century to display the Masonic hieroglyphics, and in many lodges displayed on a trestle in the center of the lodge. The lecturers further compare the use of the tracing board by the master in the instruction of the lodge with the volume of the sacred laws as a means by which God may perform a similar function to mankind. It is regarded as the spiritual tracing board. Yeah? So by convention, by constitution, or by use, it is regarded as a spiritual tracing board wherein are laid down such divine laws and moral plans, which, if followed, would bring us to an eternal mansion in the heavens. Do you mind if I ask an impertinent question? When was any of this discussed with you? Was it ever? Were you part of a study group, or was it left to you without context? Oh, you want to know physics? Here's the book. You want to know morality? Here's the book. Well, just read it. What's wrong with you? Feeble-minded? You can't conjure up the context for yourself? You can't stimulate your own? Really? That's what our 5 points of fellowship are about? No. We're far more than that. Far more, far bigger, more effective. That page in the book was glued shut for you, wasn't it? The one where it instructed us about generosity and curiosity and how to connect and communicate, how to understand whether we're a capable and productive and useful mentor. Oh, better to set all of that aside and just drive forward with ego. But wait, isn't that what happens outside the door of the lodge? Human connection driven by ego? I won't pay attention to you unless you can do something for me. No handshake, no friendship. There's some, look around. The environment I was raised in was clearly about predatory exploitation. It was, make a buck on the back of workers. Oh my, it's so horrible. Oh, it's always been there. And would it affect the young boys who are growing up in it? Of course. And is it a rocky path? Oh my, this is where the path is most rocky and most precarious. And how do we move forward? Well, we're not talking about a Jesuit order here. We're not talking about a monastery. We're talking about active working people, working from within. And even now, no Masons up to now have faced the redefinition of the role of men the way we have. It's not mean. It's necessary. It's inevitable. What is our relationship with this 51% of the population? Well, when we start to uncover what's been happening, it's not pretty. And is it consistent with our conscience? No, not for Masons, no. But it is hard. It's complicated. And there is nobody that's going to necessarily extend any patience to us. We extend the attributes of Freemasonry without ever expecting anybody to return the favor or to return the perspective. No, that's being selfish. I'm only going to do it because I'm expecting you to be generous with me. What? We're not any better than that. Come on. Yes, we are. But it's still our, you know, I'm from an era where manners are taught. But when somebody first insulted me for holding a door, I remember that. And I remember the sting. It was like, well, you know, I don't know any better. It wasn't done to degrade. It was just done as a matter of, you know, I'm breathing, I'm walking, and somebody's walking behind me, I hold the door. It matters to some people, and they have to take a round out of me. But I'm sort of done apologizing, feeling bad about it, because we're being redefined. And those kind of actions don't define who you and I are. We put a smile on our face. We try to, instead of triggering anger, we try to trigger understanding. What odd birds we be. What odd birds we be. I'm going to read to you, help you pull this together. I have some poetry from John Keats today. Yes, that John Keats. And it says, when it's about the 14 lines that he wrote, iambic pentameter. All you students of grammar, you remember the lessons? When I have fears. But first, to settle us a bit, John Coltrane and Thelonious Monk. Yeah, that. Ruby, my dear. Thank you. masonry survive? Well, jazz survived disco, isn't it? Survived rock and roll, and survived the blues, and survived an ending repression. Shouldn't exist, just like fraternal order. It's impossible, it's virtually impossible, and it's senseless to commit ourselves to masonry without some view of why we're doing it, what its value is in our lives, and the sense that this may be our way and not just another tilting at imaginary windmills. Why? So, here, let the poet do it where we can't. John Keats, he's an English Romantic poet, he's a main figure in the second generation of Romantic poets, along with a brother Byron, yeah, that scandalous fellow, and Percy Bysshe Shelley. He married well, didn't he, Shelley? And despite his works, they were only published for 4 years before his death from tuberculosis. He died at 25 years old. Amazing. Here, he left us with this gem. When I have fears that I may cease to be, sort of, yeah, I'm being a bit obvious here. Will masonry survive? When I have fears that I may cease to be, before my pen has gleaned my teeming brain, before high-piled books in charactery hold like rich garners their full ripened grain, when I behold upon the night-starred face huge cloudy symbols of a high romance that think that I may never live to trace their shadows with the magic hand of chance. And when I feel, fair creature of an hour, that I shall never look upon thee more, never have relish in the fairy power of the unreflected love, that on the shore of the wide world I stand alone, and I think to love and fame to nothingness do sink. Oh, I know, the music and the poetry of Masonic effects can and does make some grown men quite self-conscious. They become embarrassed. They don't know what to do. They shuffle their feet because they're not sure. They haven't given them self-permission to listen, to understand, to let this different form of meaning wash through them. Freemasonry is every bit as much thinking outside the box as Picasso and as Plato, as Aristotle, as Dvorak. You know, he couldn't just be satisfied with the phrasing and the, you know, he had to go and change it. Couldn't be satisfied. And Ren, you know, he had to, well, let's float this open space. Let's, you know, or the builders of the pyramid, they couldn't just be satisfied. And where I am, we do it without the help of the wordless effects of permanence and gravity. We don't have, where I am, we're more like the tabernacle, where it's portable, you know, the tent. To put it up, take it down. But the day after the concert is over, and if I want to go and linger in that atmosphere, it's gone. And it's in my mind. That's asking a lot. And for me, I think that our Grand Lodge has done that for us far, far more than it's deserved. And it needs a leg up. And we need to be able to support it because it cannot do what it does without the support of us. Our faith, our trust. Oh, and in exchange is that accountability. This is no place for silliness or self-absorbed politics. Moving the deck chairs on the Titanic. We're not the Titanic. We're something that has a resiliency. There's Picasso, did the pyramids, did Michelangelo, did Da Vinci, did Donizetti. This stuff that I'm exposed to now will not last. You know, it's not going to be remembered 100 years from now. But their stuff, Mozart, a couple of hundred years later, it's still there. So are you. So am I. So the misogynists in the crowd, step aside. You're being marginalized and you're making us seem ridiculous. Freemasonry exists for women, not within my particular order, but it does it exist? Well, as the sun comes up, the illusion, yes. Serious-minded, frank, authentic. There's so much more that can be opened in that those pages stuck together if you employ your curiosity. Anyway, apart from the glitch that today that Skype sent to me that interrupted the program, I haven't edited this yet, but I hope it's not too tragic. Thank you for sitting at the table with me for another short period of time. The banquet that we serve is not for everybody. It's an acquired taste. And I don't subscribe. We do this every single day. Unless, if you're at the point where you can see your way clear to have a little brandy or a little Merlot or a nice French roast. Yes, every single, if you're at that point, or you can still dip your, if you've ever been out in the Rockies, you can dip your cup into icy cold glacier runoff that makes your teeth ache when you brush your teeth with it. You know, life is good, and it's better because you're there. I couldn't have been made a Mason without all of you to help. And I appreciate it, and this is my way of paying it back. But sample Masonic effects, and be delicate. Not everybody likes oysters. Here, I'll be in touch with you soon, I hope. Oh, and we'll have more for you in upcoming weeks about the potential, unresolved potential of our order and that hidden spot within you. Keep the secrets within the confines of your heart and commit those acts of random Masonic kindness. It's a pleasure. This is from our French agent nude.
Coucou mec, il noise, c'est Zaz, et on va vous faire Je veux, avec Ilan à la boue à la basse, et Guillaume Gilles à la guitare. Enchanté, tout le monde.
Yes.
One, two, three, four. Je parle pas, je suis proche. Excusez-moi, avant pas m'en déranger. Il faut que tu
Thank you.
Et à tout le monde.